Crunch time for Brexit as European ministers decide if enough progress has been achieved on trade. And if you lose sleep, you actually lose money. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. March 29th, Britain leaves the EU with or without a deal, and a chaotic exit could cost British and European companies millions in contingency planning. That's why this week's European summit in Brussels is important. Germany's representative to the talks, Michael Roth, said there isn't much more Europe can do.
We're not bargaining at a cattle market here. It's our duty in the EU to negotiate in the interests of European citizens. The integrity of the single market is hugely important, which seems hard for the UK to accept. Basically, finding agreement with the UK now comes down to us all agreeing the guarantee to avoid a hard border in Ireland, and we, the EU, are not going to allow ourselves to be blackmailed. I'm going to say this very honestly. We didn't ask for Brexit, we didn't want it, and despite that, we're trying to make the best of it. At the end of the day, it's going to be painful, and negotiations aren't going to change that.
Michael Roth there. Let's do the numbers. Despite a lack of Brexit clarity, the British pound is rallying on upbeat new wage growth figures. China's Shanghai composite ended lower as after data showed consumer inflation rose in September, mostly due to food prices more than doubling. And oil prices are down nearly 1% as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo visits Saudi Arabia. Now, the hostile 2010 takeover of the quintessentially British confectionery giant Cadbury by America's Kraft invoked promises here to protect companies from predatory foreigners. Well, today a consultation period ends for new rules that would allow regulators to stop takeovers on national security grounds. John Fingleton, former boss of the UK's Office of Fair Trading, explains what they could look like.
They're going to move the current national security test out of the Competition and Markets Authority and over to the minister. So it's making it a more political decision than an independent expert decision. It gives them a very wide power to look at any, and it's not just mergers. It could be an investment, it could be a loan, it could be a property purchase. All of those things they can examine if they want. The scale of it is almost industrial. We've had 9 national security cases in the last 15 years. They're proposing over 100 cases a year under the new system. We're going to see lots and lots of competitors, suppliers, others who don't like mergers and takeovers using this politically to get conditions. I mean, it'll create a huge regulatory bureaucracy. There's planning on, I think, 200 cases a year to be looked at. It will chill foreign investment into the country. We know that foreign investment drives productivity growth. We know it's good for competition, and we know it's good for innovation policy. If people want to stop mergers and takeovers, we should have a debate about giving the government a general power to do that and not be doing it through the back door under the pretense of national security.
He says there is a better way to protect national security while allowing fair competition.
A narrower test is one that would focus on foreign actors that are hostile, like China, North Korea, whatever. It would focus on being clear that the remedies could only relate to national security. And I think it would keep it in the current independent system.
John Fingleton. Losing sleep? Well, you could also be losing money. A new report by the Rand Corporation says the U.S. sustains by far the highest economic losses, more than $400 billion a year, followed by Japan. Sleep coach Max Kirsten was sharing tips this week at an industry trade show.
We're all bathed with electronic devices. They're wonderful things, it's, you know, in the 21st century. But, you know, no one figured out that if we use them all the time, we might find it difficult to fall asleep. It isn't just electronic devices. Ever since the reemergence of coffee shops on every high street, we're all caffeinating like crazy. Alcohol's another classic as well.
Marco Hafner is senior economist at Rand Europe.
Insufficient sleep is linked to profound economic losses for 5 of the biggest economies in the world. If you sleep less than 6 hours a night, that increases your risk of dying by about 13%, because when you're younger, you might more likely have a car accident. And the older you get, the more likely you get chronic conditions such as heart disease, cancer, and so on, which subsequently makes you more likely to die earlier.
So put into context that figure of $411 billion a year. I mean, obviously, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's roughly about what the United States spends in security expenditures a year.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Some of the data that you cite says that a 1 hour increase in average weekly sleep can actually raise wages by several percentage points in the long term. That's a very tangible link between the two.
Yes, exactly. So there's some research who shows that if you're a well-slept person, you tend to be more productive on average, which subsequently has a positive effect on your long-term earnings.
Now, your recommendations in the report are that people like me, and I have to tell you, I've had 4 or 5 hours of sleep last night. We should limit our electronic use before bedtime. You also say that public authorities should, for example, introduce later school starting times. I'm guessing even you struggle to hold to those recommendations. I mean, on what planet do you think that school will start later and we'll all sleep in?
I mean, as you say, you know, I struggled from that personally as well, having young kids. And we know, for instance, that especially for the United States, where school start times are relatively early, and we know that teenagers struggle to get out of bed before 8 a.m. in the morning, which is a thing of nature. It's not just because they're lazy and they like their social media. And having early school start times has really negative consequences for their health, their well-being, but also the productivity in school.
Marco Hafner there. Finally, Apple hopes it's put a stop to the latest internet food fight by adding cream cheese to its plain bagel emoji, which bagel lovers had complained was inaccurate and unappetizing. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.